that today we have a hope of life, a hope of joy because You are living. That death was not the final sentence, but You came back alive to show us that one day You're going to take us with You. And Lord, I pray now as we open Your Word that God, that You would challenge us, that Lord, that You would encourage us and help us, Lord, to respond to You the way in which You would have us to respond. And we'll give You all the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Our kids in grades kindergarten all the way through grades 5, if you'll meet here at the door, we're going to head out to Kids Connect. Hang on. All of our kids heading that way. Hopefully you haven't gotten too much into the candy yet. It sounds like they have. For rest of us, let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Today on Easter Sunday, that Resurrection Sunday, the day that gives us hope. But there on that first Resurrection Sunday, it was a little different. It didn't have as much hope. It didn't have as much joy. And it began with a sense of sorrow around that tomb. In the start of the book of Luke, in chapter 24, we see that it says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" I love this question. And as we look back to this event, this question just permeates this whole scene. Why do you seek the living among the dead? There are so many today that I wish that would just understand the gravity of this question. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? They're seeking the dead things of this world to provide life. They're seeking the dead things of this world to bring them happiness, to bring them joy. But today, because of an empty tomb, we know that there is life through Jesus Christ. We do not have to seek it through the dead things of this world. There's too many things that produce joy only for a moment, and then it's gone. There's so many things, you know, we think technology is grand and we add it into our life. And then all of a sudden we get so glued to it that we let life pass us by. We get so glued to it that we can't even operate a motor vehicle. There's substances that the world tells you that, you know what, this will help ease your pain. This will help ease your burden. Just have a drink. Just have a little bit of this, not knowing that going down that road always produces more pain and more suffering on the backside of it. It's only fleeting just for a moment. But today on Easter Sunday, we know that we can seek the living in Jesus Christ. Today, as we look at this passage, I want you to see that the living Christ can change dead humanity. The living Christ can change the dead humanity. If you look at this passage, and as we see what's happening here, the ladies that came to the tomb, they find it empty. They find these men and they say, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" They go back, they talk to the disciples, and the disciples believe it to just be idle talk. You know, it's like, you're really... You know all that's transpired. You know all that's happened. You know that Jesus died on a cross, and you're going to come in here and you're going to tell me now that the tomb is empty. You're going to try to add injury to the insult here. They are missing totally what Jesus had taught them, and they believe it's just idle talk until Peter gets up, runs to the tomb to see for himself. And he finds that tomb empty. Here there's all this doubt. There's all this wondering. What's happening here? Luke tells the story of Jesus appearing to the two men on the road to Emmaus. But then after that, I want us to look here in verse 36. And I want you to see that the living Christ can change the dead humanity. Those disciples that still weren't certain, see what happens in their encounter. In verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The living Christ changes dead humanity. And we see it through a transformation of a ragtag group of guys that he had spent 3 years with. That when it came to the cross, and when it came to his accusations, and when it came to him dying in our place, they scattered, they ran, they didn't want anything about it. But now, after seeing the resurrected Christ, after hearing him, after seeing his wounds, after touching him, we see a transformation that will set the world afire for Jesus Christ. And it comes through the living Christ. You see, what we're going to see this morning is that through the living Christ, we see the signs of life from the Word of life that lead to a way of life. The signs of life from the Word of life that lead to a way of life. Look first at the signs of life. In verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. So in this scene, Jesus appears to them. And you can imagine them, the thought is they could be still in the upper room, they still could be gathered. You know what, they're still trying to digest all that's happened and all that's gone on in these past few days. And now here they are, they're gathered together, and Jesus appears. You know, you ever had that person that just walked into a room so quietly? And all of a sudden was there, and you just, it kind of startles you. And so they turn around, and there he is. He's right in the midst of them. They're startled, and they have that view of, you know, they see a ghost. And that has been part of the kind of things that have tried to fight against the resurrection, that Jesus did not rise bodily, that they only saw his spirit. But no, Jesus here gives them the signs of life. Because notice in verse 38, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." As you see there, we see a command. See my hands and my feet. He gives them another command. Touch me and see. Here you see these imperatives for the signs of life to show that he was the real Messiah, the real Jesus Christ. This was not just an appearance. This was not just the spirit that was coming upon them of a pre crucifixion, Jesus Christ. This was Christ after the cross. This was Christ that is standing before them, that has gone through the suffering, that has gone through the payments for sin, that has gone through all of that on Golgotha. And now he says, see, I want you to come, look at my hands, see the wounds, I want you to see my side, put your hand here, feel my side, feel these wounds. See that I'm real flesh and bone. What he's telling them is, I want you to see the marks of redemption. You know what? Someday when we stand before God and we stand there and we see Jesus, we see the Lamb, we're going to still see those marks of redemption. And praise God that they're there. Because of those marks of redemption, we can have victory. Because of the nail prints in his hands, because of the piercing of his side, his blood had spilled forth to make the payment for our sins. Because without that, there would not have been the forgiveness of sins. There was the marks of redemption. But you know what? They're still kind of a little iffy here. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still disbelieved for joy, they were marveling. And notice what Jesus says next. This is how we know he's Baptist. Have you anything here to eat? They had a fellowship meal, right? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Can you imagine? What was Jesus doing here? He was showing him that I am real. A spirit does not eat a fish. The spirit doesn't need food. But I am real. This was a physical resurrection. And folks, this is important for us because this sets the precedent for our resurrection someday. Because this says, as Jesus rose bodily, this was not just a spirit transformation. This was not just an aura. This was not just a vision. That it was Jesus in flesh and bone that was standing before them. That he was there. He said, touch me, feel that I'm real. He took fish. He ate it. This was not some illusion. This was Jesus Christ in flesh and bone. And that says that one day, when he says that he's going to raise us up from the dead, there is going to be a resurrection for us as well. There were signs of life. This sets the precedent. So you know what? Today, that means that we can live with marks of redemption. You know those wounds that we have from sin? You know what sin does to us, and it does to our body, and it ravages us, and it ravages our lives, and the destruction that comes where we fall in sin. Today, they do not have to be open wounds because of Jesus' marks of redemption. Today, those wounds and those scars can say something bigger, that they can say that there was a Savior who stood on a tree, who died for me, and on 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, so that these marks do not define me, but He is my Savior. The marks of redemption set a precedent that we can live in an atmosphere of victory. I have said it several times. I do not understand why Christians have to be the most down-in-the-dumps people. Sometimes y'all come in here with such a sour face that we got to turn the frowns upside down because we should have an atmosphere of victory. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, we do not have to be boring. We do not have to live in an appearance of all the pain and all the trouble because Jesus Christ gives us an answer for that. When we see people that are living in that depression, when we see people that are living in that sorrow, that are living in that constant fear and pain, we know that they need to get back to Jesus. Because then it's easier to sing. It's easier to smile because of the marks of redemption. You see, there were signs of life. And Jesus says, because there was the words of life. Notice there in verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. here Jesus is giving them a theology lesson. Much like he did with the men that were on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine being those guys that were walking with Jesus and Jesus just starts pouring out this Bible knowledge to them? I don't know about you, but that would be a great place to be. Being taught by Jesus and here with his disciples, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He said, I'm telling you, I'm showing you, these are the things that I told you. These are the things that I have told you about all those times that we were together. All that this was pointing to, it was pointing to the fact that I was coming to die on a cross to be your redemption and on 3 days later to rise again to say, death, you have no victory. This is my word. And Jesus kept his word. Then everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, he said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. He says, look in scripture, you think you have life, and he sees these Pharisees that are trying to hold to all these laws and all these commandments and all these things, and he's telling them, you search those scriptures, and what you're going to find is them testifying of me. The Passover meal and all that it transpired pointed to Jesus Christ. The sacrificial system pointed to Jesus Christ. All throughout the law of Moses, all throughout the prophets, all throughout the Psalms, which made up all of that Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. He says, all throughout it, you will find that they told and foretold of me. God's word contained the signs of life. And when we put that word into our life, we will find that it brings stability. What Christ taught, what was written. That means that when we open this Bible today and we open it to the book of Luke, we open it to the book of John, we open it to 1 Corinthians, we open it to Genesis and Exodus, and wherever we open it, we know that it is sufficient for our lives. That it can teach, because the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because this word is true, this word is trustworthy, and today we know that we can hold to it because this is the word of life for our souls. The problem is, we don't put enough of it into our life. If we believe that there is sufficiency here, if we believe that there is the word of life here, that this should be a book that we are in day by day to bring stability. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We put the word of God into our life because this is what points us to Jesus Christ. He said, this is the words of life. All the signs of life, all that you're seeing, this is coming out from the words of life. What I taught you and what you can read in the Old Testament. They're scriptures. And that should lead to a way of life. Because notice in verse 45. It says, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Here we see that way of life, and you know what? The way of life starts with the truth of Christ. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. All of this hangs on the empty tomb. As Paul says, without the empty tomb, we are men most miserable. But because of the truth of Jesus Christ, all of the rest of this can come into play because of who he was. And today, as we celebrate Easter and as we worship Jesus Christ, this is not just going through motions today. This is not just going through traditions and going back and forth. I pray that today you worship Jesus Christ because all of the truth hangs on what he did for us. the truth of Jesus Christ. I will suffer. I will rise. And it changes everything. And then notice verse 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. The truth of Christ leads to the truth of redemption. Because of the empty tomb, we know that that payment on the cross was accepted for us. We know that when He sacrificed His precious blood for us, there on 3 days later when Jesus rose again from the grave, that God stamped His seal of approval on that payment and He said, paid in full. I accept this payment. And because of that, we can proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. There is a truth of redemption today because the tomb is empty. And we can praise God that that came even for us. That this part of the story that we know that happened 2,000 years ago is still true for us today because the tomb was empty. The truth of redemption is still powerful today because the tomb was empty. And that's why today we can still call people to repent, to turn from the sins and turn from those things that produce death and walk in repentance for forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ. There was the truth of redemption, and then notice the truth of life change. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. He's telling the disciples, now that you've seen the truth of Christ, now that you see the truth of redemption, guess what? You are the witnesses of this. The Greek word for witnesses is something that speaks volumes in of itself. It's where we get the word martyr. Martyrion. And we see this idea of a witness being that one that's faithful to proclaim the truth. He says, you are now witnesses. There was a life change that happened in these disciples. The ones that ran away, that were scared, all of a sudden now are going to be the ones that are going to stand up in the middle of Jerusalem and say, Jesus Christ died for you, for your sins, and He rose again on the third day so that you can have salvation. And they're the ones that went to prison for speaking Christ and for speaking His name. They're the ones that would eventually be martyred for Him. They're the ones that we see in Acts 17 that the people of Thessalonica and the people that are around that are seeing this say, look at these men, they have turned the world upside down. That kind of life change happens when we get a hold of Jesus in our hearts. When we understand the resurrection. Folks, these are guys that had walked with Him for 3 years. They'd seen the miracles. Think about your favorite miracle. Think about what it would do for you to see that. My favorite? Don't judge me. The feeding of the 5,000. I would love to have been at that miracle. Because I tell you what, seeing those baskets passed around with the fish and the loaves still in it, that's my kind of miracle. But you can imagine not only that, but the healing of the blind men. The ones born from birth blind and all of a sudden they see. Can you imagine? That's like going from the age old black and white tube to high def. Right there in front of them. Think about all those miracles that those guys experienced, that they watched happen. Think about just a few weeks earlier, they saw Jesus stand in front of a tomb and say, Lazarus, come out. They had saw all of that. But when He was hanging on a tree, they ran. They scattered. They're hiding in upper rooms. When Peter was questioned, aren't you one of His? 3 times he denies, I do not know the man. And the 3rd time cursing so he wouldn't be found out to be a part of them. All of that. So what changes those guys? Was it the miracles? Maybe Jesus should have done something else, right? One more miracle would have helped. No, the miracles didn't change them. You want to know what changed them? Seeing the marks of redemption. Seeing the side and seeing the flesh and bones standing before them that said, no matter what, my word is true, which I've told you is true, and here there is no power in death anymore. Because I'm alive. Seeing the resurrected Lord produces a life change. And he says, you are my witnesses. And folks, today you are his witnesses. The question is, do you show people life through Jesus Christ? Or do you show them that everything else seems to be more powerful? Do they see a resurrected Lord through your life? Or do they see the storms overtaking? You are my witnesses, the truth of life change. And then we see the truth of God's promise. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. We know that sending of the promise is what he said before. We see it in John chapters 14, John chapter 16. And he's going to send his Spirit. He tells him, you want me to go away because if I go away, the Father's going to send the Spirit of truth and he's going to be in you. That what? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you're bought with a price. We have that promise of the Holy Spirit that God has sent upon us. And because all of the truth of Christ, the truth of redemption, the truth of life change, we can hold to all of that and walk through all of that because of the truth of God's promises. He keeps His Word. So today, we celebrate and we worship on this Easter Sunday because the living Christ changes dead humanity. The living Christ changes dead humanity. Because He's alive, we can be alive too. I think of the words, one of the most notable life changes that we see in Scripture. A guy that was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. A guy that was so adherent and so strict to the law and to obeying it that he couldn't stand to watch these ones proclaim Christ, that he was on the forefront of seeing them come to death and to meet persecution because of proclaiming the name of Christ. The one that was standing there holding coats so people could stone Stephen. The one who would go and pull the dads and pull the ones out of the houses and into the streets because they proclaimed the name of Jesus. The one they did call Saul. But God changed to Paul. And the difference in his life was to the resurrected Savior of Jesus. And this is what he wrote in Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters of all of Scripture. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once a murderer now knows the truth of being saved and being free in Him. And in verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Today you can be alive because that God that raised Christ Jesus wants to raise you too. And He wants to do a work in your life. There where you're sitting, I want to ask you just to bow your heads. Just close your eyes there for a moment. And And here in this quietness, as we think about this passage, as we think about the resurrected Lord today, I want to ask you, are you truly alive today? Are you truly alive? Have things become more important? Have circumstances clouded your view? Are you truly alive today? You see, because today in the empty tomb, it brings us the truth of the marks of redemption. It brings us the truth of that victory of Jesus Christ. That today, if you have not personally had that time where you stopped and said, Lord, I need to change. I need a difference. Because Jesus Christ came from God as God sent His Son into this world. This holy, this pure God looked upon us in our sin. He sees the very things you try to hide from Him. He sees the very things that you try to hide from others. He sees you at your darkest. He sees you at your weakest. And that holy, pure God that cannot be touched with any of that loved you enough to send Jesus to this earth for you. And Jesus gave His life, His body, His blood to make a payment for your deepest, your darkest sins. A blood so pure, a blood so holy that covers all of your sins. Both past, present, future, all of it is covered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all He asks is that for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, it is the gift of God. And today you can be alive in Him. Because Jesus Christ is alive and the tomb is empty. Are you sitting there this morning wanting to be alive? Has there ever been that time where you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of where I have failed you. I am asking you to be my Savior. I'm putting my faith and trust in you alone. Not in my works, but in putting my faith in you alone. Because if there hasn't been that moment today, we want to show you how to say that to Him and to know Him as your Savior. And in just a moment, I'm going to be standing down front. And I'd love to show you how to know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior on this Easter Sunday so that you might find life. And for those of us here today that know Christ as our Savior, I want to ask you, are you truly alive today? Have you gotten away from the life of the resurrected Lord? Are you being a good witness to the transformation that Jesus Christ provides? Don't let today just be a formality, but let it be a reality of the life change of Jesus Christ. I tell you, Father God, I pray that you would work now as only you can. Help us, Lord, to walk in your truth. Help us, Lord, to be uplifted through your word that we might know you. And if there's someone here that needs to know you personally today, give them courage, Lord, to step out to find life in you this Easter. And we'll give you the praise for it, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.